Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Leela Purushottam Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 29th chapter, 49 verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vardhana Mataji. Hare Krishna, all the devotees who are here assembled. We will start with a short kirtan. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballava Giribhara Dhari. Sadanandana Rajajana Nanjana Namuna Tera Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Rasadanandana Rajajana Ranjana Ramuna Tera Manachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charya Stotra Tvasya Srimad Vayantra Sabhaya Charana Arvita Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Pancha Kalpatar Vishya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhakti Sangha group, Samgori Mataji, Vardhana Mataji, and others who have been giving me this opportunity to spend some time preparing these lectures and sharing with you. I am really honored and very happy. Today we are going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Talks between Narada and King Prachina Varishat, Text 49. Astriya Darvai Prakagrai Karsneena Khiti Mandalam Tabdo Bruhat Badhan Mani Karma Navaisi Yat Param Tat Karma Haritosam Yat Savidyatan Matilaya. Astiriya, having covered Darvai by Kusa grass, Prak Agrai with the points facing east, Kasnena altogether. Shiti Mandalam, the surface of the world. Stabdaha, proud, upstart. Bruhat, great. Badhat, by killing. Mani, thinking yourself very important. Karma, activity. Na avayishi, you do not know. Yat, which. Param, supreme. Tat, that. Karma, activity. Haritosham, satisfying the supreme law. Yat, which. Sa, that. Vidya, education. Tat, unto the Lord. Matihi, consciousness. Yaya, by which. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, my dear king, the entire world is covered with the sharp points of pusa grass. And on the strength of this, you have become proud because you have killed various types of animals and sacrifices. Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activities should be those that can please the Personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we can become elevated to Krishna consciousness. Purport. In this verse, the great sage Narada Muni directly insults the king because he was engaged in performing sacrifices that entailed the killing of a great number of animals. The king was thinking that he was great for having performed so many sacrifices. But the great sage Narada directly chastises him, informing him that his animal killing only leads to his being puffed up with false prestige. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. I can repeat this word, sentence. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. And any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. I'll repeat that again. Any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. If Krishna consciousness is missing, one is simply engaged in false activities and false educational pursuits. Although it's a very short purport, but it's profound, extremely profound. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitiramine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyate Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaurvata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Dear devotees, we have been discussing this subject matter, started with the Puranjana story, and then subsequent chapters, how Puranjana became woman, and now finally Narada is giving instruction to King Prachinavarishat. And in the beginning, I had told, or I had made a statement saying that when even a sadhu like Naradji, when starts speaking to somebody who is very puffed up, you cannot directly find fault with him because he'll not be able to accept it. So that is why Naraji told the story of Prachina Parishad, and through that story of each one of us, because we represent Prachina Parishad, we want to feel very puffed up, proud for our so-called mundane achievements. And hence he spoke about the Puranjana story in the form of allegory, but that is his story, my story, your story, all of us story, the conditioned soul who are wandering in this material world. And after Prachina Parishad heard about it, and then he realized the goal of human life, then he started asking questions to Naraji. And when he started asking questions, Naraji took the freedom now to chastise him directly, condemning his actions. And as you know that his actions are very condemnable, because he was taking pride in killing animals and sacrifices. Normally, killing animals is not a good thing. But in sacrifice, normally the Vedic hymns are chanted, by which, in great sacrifices, people, the Brahmins can exhibit how the soul leaves the animal body and goes for the higher planetary systems, and sometime even to Vaikuntha. So that they could demonstrate, and it was a really very, very fantastic vision, particularly people, those who cannot fathom on truth by simply hearing, they need to be seen. And Vedic hymns, the potency of Vedic hymns, are full in demonstration. But when they are not done properly, it causes severe reaction. And that's what exactly happening, because when the curtain of illusion was removed, Prachina Parishad was shown all those animals he sacrificed. They were not sacrificed, they were killed. They were murdered. And hence, they're waiting to take revenge on the king, Prachina Parishad. Today in the morning, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. In Canto 1, Chapter 5, Narada's instruction on Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are reading one of the very famous verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, in Bhagavatam, first canto, Chapter 5, is the foundation of Bhagavatam, because here Naraji will chastise Vyasadeva that he has misled people into dharma, artha, kama, moksha, instead of telling them directly the glorification of Krishna. And as we saw in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, that which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity, and that education which doesn't teach us the Krishna tattva is a slaughterhouse education, or is a false education. So this verse that we were talking today was Tektva Swadharmam Charanan Bhujam Hare Bhajan Pakatha Patetato Yadi Yatra Kova Vadram Abhudamushyakim Kovarta Apto Vajatam Swadharmata. And this particular verse is very apt, because this is the basis by which Bhagavatam was finally revealed to Vyasadeva by the arrangement of Sri Sri Guru and Krishna. Your Guru is Srila Narada, one who has forsaken his material occupation to engage in devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. We have been discussing this particular point a lot now. Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada is saying that no species in 8.4 million, they perform research and work for economic development to engage in eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, we are engaged in eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. And for that, we are working very hard. We are working for economic development. This is a sheer waste of human life. Human life is meant to invest in Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his own friends who are born in demoniac families, saying that this economic development is nonsense. Very rarely we get a human birth. And in this very rare human birth, hardly we have time, because Prahlad Maharaj gives a table. He says 50% is gone in sleeping. So that is 100 years if you live, 50 years is gone. Initial 10 years in childhood, pampering and so forth, gone. And then 20 years, education, aspiration, and blah, 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 blah. So what is left, he's asking. And still, we want to do, we want to dream so many mundane things. Why? So I thought today, because you see here what Prachina Varishat is being advised by Naraji, that instead of taking pride in so-called false sacrifices, in demonstrating false aristocracy, he should do things that pleases Krishna. And I hope that I will make a presentation on how to please Krishna. And I made just this slide is not made. I have made this slide only for this lecture. So it was not a slide made earlier, as I have made some presentations before. So please, even if there are many faults, please be merciful to me. Where is the share screen, right? So this one, right? Okay, so Bardhana Mataji, are you able to see my slide?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, so I am going to, because this is the because when I read this purport, again I want to read that. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. And any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. I don't think that any direct message than this can ever be made. It's so direct, so straightforward. There is no question of ambiguity. And hence, let's see how to please Krishna. And I made some effort, and hopefully it pleases the assembled Vaishnavas. So let us start. I had already talked about this in this forum also, Krishna concept of infinity. God must be infinite. Among all concept of infinity, Krishna concept is the supreme most, right? If, when I chant Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, immediately I feel the presence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because it is his composition, and he is through this, he is manifesting Braj through sound vibration. And then I feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada because he sang this song before every Srimad Bhagavatam lecture. And that way he established that it is Braj, it is the Goloka Vrindavan where Radha and Krishna are enjoying their amorous pastimes in different kunjas along the Yamuna and performing varieties of activities and pleasing all the devotees there. That's only real thing, you know. When we close our eyes, if our mind goes to Golok Vrindavan all the time, what's happening there? Where is Krishna now? What does it do there? And the varieties of such meditation and contemplation can make our life very sublime, spiritual, and spiritually uplifting. So the point is, nobody understands Krishna, right? Because that's by ontology. If Krishna is God, so he cannot be understood by anyone. Otherwise, whoever would understand Krishna, he would be superior. And that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, 2nd verse, Name viduhu sura ganaha prabhavam namaharsayo ahamadirhi devanam maharsinam cha sarvasa. Neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So nobody understands Krishna, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, demigods. And philosophy-wise, Krishna concept of infinity is that infinity is inconceivable. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Avasishyate. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. Because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself, because he is the complete whole. Even though so many complete units emanate from him, there remains the complete balance. And so dear devotees, I would like to remind you, you know, 2 days back, two scientists got Nobel Prize for being able to edit genetic editing. And so the philosophy of genetic editing is that the part of that gene which is most likely the cause of a disease or some abnormality, if you can purge it out, and then, you know, it will be a great achievement. And although it is a very controversial topic, and they have been given Nobel Prize. So after they got the Nobel Prize, I was just thinking about it. And I was meditating that, okay, the gene that they are actually dealing with is from the gross body. What they will do with the subtle gene? Because the subtle gene, that has more impact on our body. You see, because of COVID pandemic, people are confined to their homes, and we have seen that how mental psychic patient, the numbers have increased. The suicidal tendency has increased. So then there is subtle gene, and then beyond subtle gene, then there is transcendental gene that is part and parcel of Krishna. So people, you know, they may get Nobel Prize and doing something that looks very fascinating in a mundane realm. But those who are devotees, they know that even if I'm given a perfect body, let's allow these genetic engineers, they correct. It is impossible. I asked one biologist, can they, because suppose you are suffering from cancer, you will not have one or two cells, you will have thousands of cells. And can you really, edit the genes from all these cells? And then there are other issues, the cells, they die, cells, they burn, and so many things that happen. Is it possible? And then he was taken aback because he was not looking for such a question from me. And then he told me it is possible that, suppose somebody is blind, then, in a cochlea, in your optical nerve, there will be very few cells, and probably you can do some genetic editing there, and you can give the eyesight to a person. But my point is, even if you make my body so perfect, let's say, through genetic editing, my body is absolutely perfect. But still, the reverses of life will be there. Sometime I will lose, make a huge loss in a business. I may get divorced. I may lose my near and dear ones. And finally, even if you get a perfect body, you cannot make yourself immortal. You will die anyway. Okay. So the Krishna concept of infinity is the Krishna, from him unlimited universes in the form of complete units they emanate, still he remains same original infinite. It's a very inconceivable thing. This is a topic, we can go on. I have a big presentation on this very topic itself, but let's not worry. So, now the question here is, Krishna is infinite, right? And if Krishna is infinite, who can describe him? Now you see that is Ananta Sesa, on whose bed Krishna is lying. And as Krishna lies, Ananta Sesa glorifies his master. And you must know Ananta Sesa himself is the plenary portion of Krishna. So in many respects, there is no distinction between Ananta Sesa and Krishna. And you will read in purport Srimad Bhagavatam 4.16.2, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Shastra and saying, it is stated that Ananta, an incarnation of the Lord who has unlimited mouths, cannot reach the end of his glorification of the Lord, although Ananta has been describing the Lord since time immemorial. So even Krishna's plenary portion is not able to describe Krishna comprehensively. So what is the conclusion? Conclusion is Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Lord Ananta, whose plenary expansion of Lord cannot describe Krishna properly. So how much we understand about Krishna? Lord Krishna is inconceivable, hence not completely knowable by anyone, including Ananta. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva declared that they hardly know about Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita describes Lord Krishna. We hear and try to describe him. Like he says, Mataha parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. Aham sarvasya prabhu, mataha sarvam pravartate. So, hearing the way Krishna is describing him, right, we may deliberate, we may introspect. How hard we may try, our understanding will remain only a drop in the vast ocean. Forget about us. You ask Naraji, please tell us something about Krishna. Of course, to me, if I surrender to Srila Naraji, he would say, because I'm a fool, number one, I have no understanding of Krishna. So he would. But imagine, you know, Naraji goes near Lord Shiva. There, he would not even utter a single word. He will simply hear what Lord Shiva is saying. And he is a regular attendant in the Srimad Bhagavatam, discourse given by Lord Shiva under a veil tree in Kailasa. So it is not that people don't understand Krishna. We understand Krishna, but our understanding is very little, is like a drop in a vast ocean. But holy name can reveal our relationship with the Lord Krishna. And we can please him being engaged in that relationship. Right? So Krishna can reveal, okay, I'm a servant of Vishnu, I'm a servant of Rama, I'm a servant of Narasimha, I'm his own servant as Gopa or Gopi or so many ways. And once I understand my spiritual Sarupa, then I can engage myself in that service. But I don't know that now. So how do I please Krishna? So, but I have not perfected my life and do not know my relation. Whatever be my relation, the overwhelming aspect is that I'm a servant. Doesn't matter whether somebody is Hanuman, Narada, Gopa, Gopi, everybody, their overwhelming aspect in their relations with Krishna are that we are all servant. Krishna is the master. And I must serve under the guidance of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Okay. So this is the underlying philosophy by which we must please Krishna. It is not that, oh, now I will hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, I'll memorize all the verses, I'll become a Sanskrit expert, I'll become a scholar, and then, you know, I have seen when I used to go 92, 93, I started visiting our ISKCON temple, and there used to be many scholars, and they appeared to be, you know, very, very knowledgeable. And I remember one devotee, Prabhupada disciple, was introducing someone, I don't want to name, and said, he is now the next acharya of ISKCON. And they are no more there. They are no more there in the movement. And I have seen this. Why? Because Krishna consciousness is not a scholastic ability. Krishna consciousness is not an ability that sprouts from our austerity, penances, and so forth. Krishna consciousness is a causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna. The more I meditate on ISKCON movement, every day I get new realization. You know, in 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada initiated 10,000 disciples, engaged them in varieties of activities. And because they followed Srila Prabhupada, many of them, they made so much of advancement, spiritual advancement. Each one of them were looking like a Golok Basi, so extraordinarily effulgent, powerful, and probably can do anything that Prabhupada wanted them to do. And they were doing it. And this is what is Krishna consciousness, is a causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna. So we can only please Lord Krishna by following Guru and Gauranga. And hence, let's strive to perfect that heart. So now I will take you some of the verses from our literature to explain how Krishna becomes pleased. First, I will tell what Krishna wants us through Bhagavad Gita, because that's easiest thing. Prabhupada, the first book he published in ISKCON, of course, Easy Journey to Other Planet, and the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. But then the masculine publication was Bhagavad Gita, right? So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is in supreme instruction. It is there in the I think 18th chapter, 64th verse, Krishna is saying, "Oh Arjuna, please hear my supreme instruction now." And incisively at the 65th verse, he's saying, "Manmanabhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaisasi satyam te pratijane priyosime." Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Very dear friend. So dear devotees, if we want to follow the footsteps of Arjuna, then we should accept this. Always think of Krishna. Let us become Krishna's devotee. Trustworthy. Let us worship Krishna. And offer our obeisances to Krishna. That's what he said. And then he said, "Sarva dharman paritejya mam ekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokheshwami masucha." Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This Krishna is saying, it is his supreme instruction. And then further he says, "For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees," that means the supreme instruction. Everybody cannot understand. When you say, "Oh, you worship Krishna, why Krishna? Why not Shiva? Why not Ganesha?" People will start if you are an Indian. And if you are not an Indian, if you are from alien culture, so who is this Krishna? So for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotee, that means I must be able to present Krishna as he is, scientifically. Pure devotional service is guaranteed. At the end, he will come back to me. This is Krishna's assurance. And then he says, "There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear." So if we are propagating the message of Bhagavad Gita, and what is message of Bhagavad Gita? These two supreme instructions. Manmanabhava madhvakta madhyaji mam namaskuru sarva dharman paritejya mam ekam saranam braja. If we can bring these two points into people's life, our impious heart, there will be a revolution. Janata go viplava. So there will be a revolution. So now I will tell you how we can really, because we hear from Bhagavad Gita, we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we hear from many devotees. And many times we say, "What is happening? I'm chanting, I'm doing everything, but I'm not getting attracted to Krishna. I'm still getting attracted to my sleep. I'm still getting attracted to my family members, my house, bank balance, my temporary things. I'm still not getting attracted to Krishna. What's happening?" And this verse Prabhupada quoted many times, many, many times in his lectures. And this verse is actually a conversation between Lord Shiva and Parvati. Okay, under the bell tree, Lord Shiva is giving pravachan on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's explaining to Parvati. And this is there in Padma Purana. "Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam archayitva tu govindam tadiyam narchayetuya nasa bhagavato jnaya kevalam dambhika smritaha." Of all types of worship of Lord Vishnu is best. And better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava. One who performs worship of Lord Govinda but fails to worship his devotees should be understood to be not a devotee of the Lord but simply a victim of false pride. I remember when Prabhupada started his movement, he would have few people, you'll send them to different places. You start a center in San Francisco, you start a center in London, different, Montreal, and so forth. And Prabhupada never thought, oh, I have cultivated some people and let them be with me and I know we will have a nice prasadam every day and nice kirtan. No, he sent everyone. Everyone. And whoever, you know, when Prabhupada has assigned someone, means there is empowerment by Prabhupada on these wonderful devotees. And whoever served them, they all attained pure devotion. No doubt about it. I've seen in our movement, for the first time I went to Newark because my Guru Maharaj, Srila Rumpad Maharaj, he stays in Newark. And so first time I travel in air, that was an international flight. Because before that I never flew. In 97 I went because I had a conference in San Francisco, Montreal. And so when I first went to New York Temple, and there, you know, I saw one very a very nice, humble devotee, and he's cleaning the toilet. And then there was one devotee, he told me, yeah, he said he's Prabhupada's disciple. And I was in awe and reverence because this person is cleaning the toilet. Right? So, this is what is pleasing to Krishna. When we serve the devotees, when you serve the devotees, Krishna becomes very happy. Very, very happy. So you want to please Krishna, please his devotees. Thus, and I'm going to quote more verses here. This verse, you know, whenever you write Vyasa Puja offering, most of you might have quoted this verse because this is a very famous verse from Chitashitara Upanishad. Esya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite kathita hi artha prakasante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. As I have told you, by becoming Sanskrit scholar, expert in so, in literature, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam doesn't make me attracted to Krishna. This is divine grace of Guru and Gauranga. That is very important for us. So only those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and spiritual master, then only the signs will be revealed to us within our heart. This is in Itihasa Samuchaya. This I have taken from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quote in Chaitanya Bhagavata. Tasmad Vishnu Prasadaya Vaishnavan Parito Sayet Prasada Sumuko Vishnus Teneiva Syanna Samsayaha. In order to attain the mercy of Lord Vishnu, one should satisfy the Vaishnavas. There is no doubt that by their mercy, Vishnu will be pleased. You know, I remember one letter in the beginning of my spiritual life got from Srila Rumpada Maharaj, where he wrote that when we run a preaching center, if someone has come, even if he may look very dirty or upstart or whatever his status, he's our guest on behalf of Krishna. And we must serve him to his heart's content. Even if he doesn't agree with our philosophy, it doesn't matter. But he has come to our temple. He has come to our preaching center. And he deserves all our respect. In Adi Purana, it is stated, Yame bhakta janaha partha name bhaktas chate janaha madbhaktanam chaye bhaktas Teme bhakta tamaha matah bhakta tamaha. Best. My dear Partha, those who claim to be my devotees are not my devotees. But those who claim to be devotees of my devotees are actually my devotees. Suddenly we see someone has come and started preaching center somewhere, opened a temple, opened a farm community. And instead of trying fault in him or this or that, we must support him. After all, he must have been sent by GVC or temple president or someone within our hierarchy to do a service. Instead of finding fault with him, we should support him. We should assist him. We should help him. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 17th chapter, 2nd verse. It's a very, very nice verse. It says, Dhurapi hi alpa tapasa deva vaikuntha vartmasu yatropagiyate nityam deva devo janardhanaha. Persons whose austerity is meager, just hear about it very carefully. Persons, alpa tapasa means meager. Those who cannot perform austerity, those who have not performed austerity. Persons whose austerity is meager can hardly obtain the service of the pure devotees who are progressing on the path back to the kingdom of Godhead. So by contrast, then I need some water. Pure devotees engage 100% in glorifying Supreme Lord, who is the Lord of demigods and the controller of all living entities. So, it is not easy to get association of pure devotees. There is no doubt Prabhupada was directly sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver all of us. And all those devotees who served him must be so great, so extraordinary. In my initial days in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna Balram temple, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to visit, or any big disciple of Srila Prabhupada used to visit, I have seen it was like a big celebration. Everybody used to be so happy. There was so much of energy within everyone. And it was like a filling of, one family. It was so extraordinary. So those who have served pure devotees, those who are serving pure devotees, they are extraordinary. Because by meager austerity, we can never come in contact with any sadhu. It is not possible. Here it is from Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. Archayitva tu govindam tadiyan archayetu ya nasa bhagavato gyeyo kevalam dambika spritaha tasmat sarva prayatrina vaishnavan pujyate sada sarvam tarati dukhaugham maha bhagavata archanat. One who performs worship of Lord Govinda but fails to worship his devotees should be understood to be not a devotee of the Lord but simply a victim of false pride. You see, there is some repeat here. One should always worship the Vaishnavas by all means, for by worshipping the great devotees, one is freed from all miseries. This is, this verse when I read, I was just dumbfounded. This is in the context of Govinda Vasya. There is a quote from Sandilya Smriti, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quote this verse. Siddhir bhavati vaneti samsayachyuta sevinam nisamsayas tu tad bhakta paricharya rata. ఆత్మనం కేవలం భగవత్పాద సేవయా విమలం మనః నా జాయతే యథా నిత్యం తద్భక్త చరణార్చనాత్. వెరీ వెరీ నైస్. వన్ మే డౌట్ whether the servant of Supreme Personality of Godhead will attain perfection. But there is absolutely no doubt that those who are attached to serving as devotees will attain perfection. Just see this profoundness of this meaning of this statement. One may doubt whether the servant of Supreme Personality of Godhead will attain perfection. But there is absolutely no doubt that those who are attached to the serving as devotees will attain perfection. One's mind is not as fully purified by serving the lotus feet of Supreme Lord as it is by serving the feet of his devotees. Dear devotees, I hope this has pleased you enough how we should approach to please Krishna. So, as ISKCON, we are a worldwide association of devotees. And we have also many spiritual masters. And Srila Prabhupada is a central attraction for all of our activities, his books, his instructions. And that is how our movement has been running. And hence, Acharya Upasana is one of the very important limb of our spiritual perfection. In Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Prabhupada quoted this verse a lot of time. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva vigachet samitpani sutriyam brahmanistham. Prabhupada, in a very elegant style, will quote this verse. In order to learn the transcendental science, one must approach the bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession, who is fixed in the absolute truth. So, spiritual master is a must to get to feel connected to the parampara, to Krishna. And here it is, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is instructing Uddhava, 11th canto, 17th chapter, 27th verse. Acharyam mam vijaniyan naiva manyate karichit namartya buddhya suyata sarva devo mayo guruhu. This is Krishna's direct instruction to Uddhava. And he's saying, one should understand the spiritual master to be as good as I am. Said the Blessed Lord. I'm taking as this is one of the Prabhupada Vyaspu's offering. The way he has, because earlier Prabhupada used to translate Krishna as Blessed Lord. And later it was changed to Personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody should be jealous of the spiritual master or think of him as an ordinary man, because the spiritual master is the sum total of all demigods. Sum total of all demigods. This is Sarvo Devo Mayo Guru. So, this is Acharya Upasana. In Padma Purana, it is stated, Sampradaya Vihinaye Mantraste Nispala Mataha. Unless you are initiated by a bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession, the mantra that you might have received is without any effect. We are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are chanting, but we are not feeling connected to Panchatattva, Gauranga, Guru Parampara. That means I have not done Acharya Upasana properly. I have not accepted this mantra through proper disciplic succession. So I won't feel getting connected. We devotees within ISKCON, we feel connected to Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Krishna Saswaji Maharaj, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Sarva Swami, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that connection should be innate, intrinsic. So, here it is, Kathopanishad. It says, Uteshtataha jagrataha pratya varana nivodhataha kurasya dhara nishita durattaya durgam pathastat kavayo vadanti kavayo. It's plural, kavi and kavayo. Please wake up and try to understand the boom that you now have in this human form of life. The path of spiritual realization is very difficult. It is sharp like a razor's edge. That is the opinion of learned transcendental scholars, dear devotees. We must wake up. How to please Krishna? There is a method to please Krishna. We are very fortunate that we have understood. Ultimately, Krishna cannot be understood. Krishna cannot be internalized. Krishna is beyond mundane perception. Krishna is beyond my transcendental perception because he is infinite. I am infinitesimal. But then, I can engage in my relationship with Krishna and please him. That's all I can do. And that is my perfection. My perfection is in pleasing Krishna. You know, you might have heard in Mahabharata, whenever Krishna went to Hastinapur those days, he would always go to Vidura's house. Sometime he will eat some simple foodstuffs like leafy vegetable and rice, sometime bananas, sometime, you know, very simple thing. He will never accept royal hospitality of gurus, although he had very, very dear devotee within the Kuru dynasty, Bhishmadeva. And you must know that Vidura, although he had a lot of opulence because Dhritarashtra, out of affection, had provided him enough wealth, but he always lived in a hut and spent all his money in propagating Krishna consciousness. And that is why Krishna always went and ate in the house of Vidura. Pleasing Krishna is simple for those who are simple. But those who are very complex, they cannot please Krishna. Our mode of passion and mode of ignorance will not help us to please Krishna. And this is the, I have told you last class and last class, I think, human form of life, Prabhupada's very favorite verse. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridhatuke sodhi kalatradisu haumayijyadi yatirtha buddhi salilena karichit anesu abhijyesu saeva gokhara. Anyone who accepts his bodily bag of three elements, bile, mucus and air, as his self, who has an affinity for an intimate relationship with his wife and children, who considers his land worshipable, who takes bath in the waters of the holy places of pilgrimage, but never takes advantage of those persons who are in actual knowledge, is no better than an ass or a cow. So, if we do not take association of sadhus, pure devotees of Krishna, if we don't learn how to follow them, then our life is a simply waste. We have taken a human birth, but
we are wasting our human life without being engaged by a devotee. I will skip this, right? What time it is now? 5:55. I think I should see, there is how to please Krishna. There is a description between Raya Ramananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask, tell me ultimate goal of life. And then Raya Ramananda would quote verses like Varna Sramachara Bhata Guru Sena Parakuman Vishnu Raradhyati Pantha Nanyatta Tosha Karma. Says that one must remain in Varnasrama and please Hari. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, fine, but it's not good. Then he will go further and says, Yat Karosi Yadasnasi Yajosi Dadasi Yat Taposisi Kamtaya Tad Guru Swamadarpana. So he would say, my dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means all our actions must be dedicated to Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, no, this is not. And then he would quote Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mame Kam Sanam Braja. And one would think, ah, that's a very beautiful thing, because you give up all kinds of religion, all kinds of dharma. You are a father, you are a mother, you are a teacher, you are a professor, you are a housewife, everything, all, you are a male, female, whatever dharma you think, you must abandon all those dharma and simply surrender to Krishna. Looks like very wonderful. And still, Mahaprabhu says, not. It's nice, but it's still not so pleasing. And then, you still continue. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochati Na Kankati Samana Sarvesu Bhutesu Madhvakti Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Because to attain pure devotional service means Na Sochati. I am not worried about my future. Sochati. Na Sochati. Na Kankhyati. Yeah. So, Sochati means past. Because I lament for that. Because, oh, I could not become a doctor. I could not become a president. I could not become. So, Sochati, who meditate on the past. And Kankhyati, who meditate on the future. No, a pure devotee is beyond past, present, and future. Is eternal. Na sochati na kankhyati. Samana sarvesu bhutesu. Is equally disposed to everyone. All living forms. He doesn't see the dress. He sees the Atman. He wants to serve them. A devotee can serve a plant, flower plant, any plant. A devotee takes a fruit, offers to Krishna. The plant is engaged in service to Krishna. We can engage anyone in the service to Krishna as a human being, as a devotee. Samana sarvesu bhutesu. Then such a person attains pure devotional service to Krishna. Mad bhakti labhate param. Param, supreme. Madhbhakti. To attain Krishna's bhakti is the most important goal. And I'll skip many things here. Maybe I'll just go to Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 8.69. As long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee. And further he says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Dear devotees, if you can perform, if someone can perform 1 crore Ashwamedha Yajna, 1 crore, we don't have an ability to contemplate on one Ashwamedha Yajna. In Kali Yuga, of course, we cannot perform. But in some yuga, other yuga, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, if we want to perform this 1 crore of them, then also we will not attain pure attraction, pure love for Krishna. But same pure love was distributed by Sri Nityananda Prabhu in Godruma Deepa. Free. How fortunate we are being born in Kali Yuga, that which cannot be obtained by performing crores of Ashwamedha Yajna, we are getting for free. Shouldn't we take it very seriously? Just because we are getting for free, should we think it is so cheap? Using Shastra, using Acharyas, with their mercy and grace, we should contemplate and acknowledge how great is this benediction that we have received. So, I am now going to concluding verses. This is the principle by which we must please Krishna and Rupa Goswami, real renunciation. It is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatharam Upayunjataha Nirvandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate Prapanchakataya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna Mukhyuvi Parityago Vairagyam Falgu Kathyate. One is said to be situated and fully renounced out of life if he lives in accordance with Krishna consciousness. He should be without attachment for sense gratification and should accept only what is necessary for the upkeep of the body. On the other hand, one who renounces thing that could be used in the service of Krishna under the pretext that such things are material does not practice complete renunciation. And one of the limbs of Krishna conscious movement, as Prabhupada gave us, preaching is the essence, books are the basis, and purity is the force. And there is the fourth one, utility. Is the principle. Utility is the principle. We must know how to engage things in Krishna's service. Because everything ultimately springs from Krishna. And this is also Rupa Goswami talks in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila. 22nd chapter, 128 verse. Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtana Bhagavata Sravana Mathura Vasa Sri Murtir Sradhaya Sevana. These are the five limbs of devotional service by which we can please Krishna. We must associate with the devotees, serve them. We must chant Krishna's name, do perform Sankirtan, Nagar Sankirtan, chanting together, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We must reside in Mathura Vasa. Mathura Vasa means wherever we stay, the atmosphere should be that of Braj. Worship the deity with faith and veneration. So these are the five things. Actually, Krishna consciousness has become very simple. It doesn't require any so-called mundane intelligence. It requires spiritual grace to understand it. And all of us, we do this. And this is all we have to do. We have to practice four regulative principles. We must be regular in Mangalarti. We must chant minimum 16 rounds. We must read Prabhupada books on a regular basis. We must be serving devotees, which I gave many, many quotes. And preaching, Sankirtan, book distribution, prasadam distribution. So many ways preaching can be done. And the essence is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So ultimate way, ultimate goal, that how do we know that we have pleased Krishna if we are able to chant incessantly? If once I enter into chanting, I lose the external consciousness. That's when I can tell that I have pleased Krishna. There must be some milestone. So this is my end note. Sri Sikhyastakam. This is the basis by which we can realize that we have pleased Krishna. The process of cleansing the heart. This is the first verse of Sikhyastakam. Cheto Darpana Majan. When we cleanse our consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then passion and ignorance that causes forest fire within gets subsided. And transcendental knowledge awakens within my heart. And every step as I chant every word of Krishna, I am filled with nectar. I am filled with life. This is called cleansing process. Cleansing process. My heart is becoming lighter, lighter, and lighter. I am becoming freed from passion and ignorance. And then the second verse of Sikhyastakam, that says that Krishna and His holy name are not different. Krishna, when I am hearing that Krishna and Krishna, the ontological existence, the ontological truth, there is no distinction. Draupadi called for Krishna. Krishna was there. Gajendra called out for Krishna. Krishna was there. Anybody who called out for Krishna, Krishna was there. But unfortunately, I don't have taste for this holy name. And then the third verse of Sikhyastakam talks about natural state in which we can chant incessantly. Kirtaniya Sadahari. One must be humbler than a blade of grass. One must be tolerant than a tree. One must be ready to give respect to everyone. And one should not expect any respect from anyone. You know? And from our simple experience, you know, when I was plucking bitter gourd from my kitchen garden on the top of my roof, suddenly I realized this plant, bitter gourd plant, is able to share its own body with me. Doesn't cry. But somebody tells me, you partake with your body. Give me my hand. Give me my nose. I cannot give. So I prayed. I said, oh bitter gourd, I'm taking you this and cook for Krishna and offer to Krishna. Please bless me. We can be humbler than blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, simply seeing that how everyone is engaged somehow or other in Krishna's service. And when we consider everyone as our master, we are in a perfect state to chant continuously. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then fourth verse in Sikhyastakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that we must be freed from all material desires. Material desires and Krishna consciousness cannot go together, my dear friends. absolute no to material desires. Prabhupada disciples, they looked very wonderful to me because they were absolutely freed from all these so-called mundane desires that were fed to us by our society, by our parents. You must become engineer. You must become professor. I didn't see this kind of thing there and there. And that was really attracted me. And next verse, fifth verse of Sikhastakam, Krishna is telling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, that we must fully depend on Krishna. Fully depend. I may memorize 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. I may chant incessantly Krishna's name. So what? At the time of death, I may not remember either a verse from Bhagavad Gita or even Hare Krishna. This happened to Bharat Maharaj, who was such a great personality. He became a deer. I don't think that even in my dream I can compare myself to Bharat Maharaj. So great personality, Bharat Maharaj. So we must completely seek shelter of Krishna. Full dependence. Oh Krishna. Oh Nanda Tanuja. Please lift me. Somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean, vast ocean of material existence. Vast ocean of ignorance. Please lift me and place me as a dust in your lotus feet. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, the symptoms of pure chanting. If I chant purely, there will be tears in my eyes like torrential rain. My voice would choke up. And hairs would stand on my end. Doesn't happen to me. And finally, there are two verses. The seventh verse also a symptom of pure chanting. If I'm chanting purely, although I'm living in this world, I don't see this world. Stavara jangama dekhi nadakhi taramurti sarvatra spure ishta deva murti. I don't see beautiful nature. I don't see bungalow. I don't see highways. I don't see this world. Because I have transported myself to pure devotional platform. I am living in another world. And there is a feeling of great separation from Krishna. Oh Krishna, without you, even a moment looks like a yuga, 12 years or more. Oh Govinda, oh Krishna, where you are, please accept me. And finally, Sikhyastakam talks about complete surrender. Complete surrender. Unconditional surrender. Doesn't matter, O Krishna, how much difficulties you create in my way. Whether you embrace me or you neglect me. You reject me or you accept me. You smile on me or you don't look at me. You always remain my master, life after life. So, dear devotees, this is a small preparation, how to please Krishna. It is a vast topic, but small samples of different aspects of Krishna consciousness I got met them together. I hope it has is pleasing to you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. It's so inspirational. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, thank you, Prabhu, for your very nice points and how to please Lord Krishna. So, Prabhu, in your slide, you mentioned that first point, right? We can't know Krishna, right, completely, right?
Yeah.
So, every day, right, in this Purushottamas, we are reading that 15th chapter, right, Prabhu? At the end, he says, who knows me without doubting knows everything.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean, Prabhu, then knowing everything there?
Very good question. We know Krishna by his instruction. When I said we don't know Krishna, his oceanic opulence, his unlimited transcendental qualities, his vast pervasiveness, when we understand Bhagavad Gita means we accept Krishna. That is what we know. We have full confidence that Krishna is my friend. That is our knowledge of Krishna. You know, we know many things about Krishna, but that knowledge of I didn't say that we don't know Krishna. I said whatever you may know about Krishna. Forget about what I know. You know, more than chanting Hare Krishna, even at that I also don't chant properly. How much I know Krishna? But this is not I am saying. Lord Shiva is saying, Brahmaji is saying, whatever they know about Krishna is a drop in that vast ocean of understanding about Krishna. Ananta also doesn't know. So, what Krishna is telling that we know him is we know his instructions. We understand, value his instructions. How do I know a person? I hear him, follow him. If I get a result, then my faith in him will increase. So, Krishna's instruction you follow. Then you understand if I'm following Krishna. Like Krishna is saying, that if you follow, you serve his devotees, then they are more dear to Krishna than those who declare they are direct servant of Krishna. So, if you change your attitude and do this, and you will see the result, then you understand Krishna. What is meaning of that? You know that whatever Krishna says, that is infallible. That is truth. So, from our perspective, knowing Krishna means my relationship with Krishna as a servant and how to please him. We know Krishna means we must know how to please Krishna. And that is what I made a point that knowing Krishna means we cannot know Krishna. Krishna is infinite. Hare Baba, forget about Krishna. What is an infinity as a mathematical object? Nobody understands. Forget about Krishna. As infinity. Infinity is inconceivable by definition. That which is inconceivable, achintya. Achintya guna shurupa. It is achintya. It cannot be conceived, it is inconceivable. So, one thing is to, like for example, suppose I said this, an object, I know it. And then I say, this object and what is its connection to Krishna consciousness? Two are different things. You know, as a scientist, you may come, try to break it and go to molecular, submolecular level, and you spend your lifetime and still you will not understand this. But I can easily understand. 1, 2, 1, 2. And this is a connection to Krishna consciousness. That we can understand. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, there is one question in the chat. Chitrajit Roy Prabhu is asking, what is Kunja? How can I serve devotees?
Kunja means to get a first-hand experience of Kunja, you must go to Bhandiravan. Near Bhandiravan, there is a place where Sridham is waiting for Krishna to return to Vrindavan. And beautiful kunjas are there. Kunjas are natural place where Radha and Krishna, sometime they swing in a jhula. Kunja is a place where, you know, it's made up of creepers. It's like a natural house, but it is made out of creeper naturally. And there will be gentle breeze, and you will have some sunshine peeping into these kunjas, and this is the ultimate manifestation of transcendental opulence. Kunja Vihari, Radha and Krishna, they don't like palaces. They like Kunja. But anyhow, this is a divine thing. It's not very... We should not try to understand this concept using our mundane ability. These are all spiritual objects. Kunja is a spiritual object. And you said that how you can serve a devotee. Yes, whoever is serving Krishna, you serve him, or her. That is serving devotees. You are being cultivated by someone, so help him in reaching out to others or helping him to do things that are necessary to preach Krishna consciousness. So many ways we can serve devotees. Prabhuji, at neophyte stage, how can one connect to the parampara and serve the devotees of Krishna? Because in the beginning, we are directly approaching the Lord. No, you see that you didn't come to Krishna consciousness directly, is it? Sometimes some devotee might have given you some information. Oh, there is. And I remember when I was in Germany, there are two German devotees. They are God and their deity, and they will always come and join some celebration, a festival program. And I told them, how did you got connected to our movement? And they said that we were searching for truth, and we were looking for some esoteric books that are normally not available in traditional bookstore. And we are searching there, and someone guided, here, these Hare Krishnas, they are real fellows. And that fellow has no connection with Hare Krishna, but he simply said, these Hare Krishnas are real fellows, please take their books. And they said, that's it. We got that book, and since then we are in touch with devotees. So my point is that somehow or other you get connected to Krishna consciousness. You are approached by a devotee, you come to a temple. So whoever has called you, whichever temple you can, there are devotees there, and appreciating them and serving them. Like, for example, when I went to Germany, I was a professor in Westphalia, and then I went to Juhu, I was working in BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute, and then I went to Germany. And by that time, I have almost preached 7 years. And then after going to Germany, I went to the Kollam Temple and said, I'm a devotee, practicing devotee. My name is Lila Purushottam Das. So give me some service today. And they showed me huge, you know, vessels. Said, please, can you please wash it? I said, fine. So, and after doing service slowly, people came to know me, and you know, I got bigger service. And then I shifted to the temple, and suddenly I realized, you know, they made me, there is a temple president there, but they told me, you take care of the temple. So I was going to my lab, doing research, and simultaneously, I have to plan who will give Sunday program, talk. And I was also cooking that time. And I remember in Saturday, Sunday, I would cook breakfast. And by the time I go to, after cooking, offering, then I go to top of the apartment, temple room, apartment where I have a room, and change my dress because after taking prasadam, I will dress to the lab. By the time I used to come, I used to see almost all prasadam is finished, right? So it is nice, you know, when finally I came back from Germany and joined IIT Kanpur, and then I got married. All the Sankirtan devotees from German and Switzerland, they all came to attend my marriage. I received them from the airport, took them in the train to Odisha, and they were there. A post meeting with the devotees means making a relationship, a sweet relationship.
We offer you wonderful fruit juices and flowers, we do Abhishek and all. I was just thinking.
Some noise is coming.
Yes, Abhishek externally on the altar is being done with charnamrits and all. Your Krishna is.
Okay. So, yes, it doesn't matter whether we are neophyte or we are advanced. It's better to always think we are neophyte. Then we can serve devotees better. But we should, because a good relationship with the devotees helps us to progress in spiritual life. It is very important. Prakash Sahu, what is the difference between bhogi and yogi? And those who are interested in sense gratification, they are bhogi. Those who are interested in eating, mating, sleeping and defending, they are bhogi. And we are not really interested in so-called popular yogi. We are interested in pleasing Krishna. Many times yogi means you leave everything and go to a Himalayan bunker and live there performing severe austerities. We are not interested in that. We are interested in pleasing Krishna. We are bhakti yogi. And that's what we are interested in.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Very, very inspiring class, Prabhu. But I have a different question. I started reading Bhagavatam, which begins with the different incarnations of
Krishna.
Of Krishna. And yesterday when I was reading, I came to the 30th shloka of 3rd chapter, canto 1.
It said
that it is talking about the Virat Swarup form of the Lord.
Right.
And it is written here that the conception of the Virat universal form of Lord as appearing in the material world is imaginary. I got stuck there, Prabhu. What does that mean?
Very good question. Imaginary means when you have a material description, you will use your material speculation and contemplation to understand. The universal form of the Lord is real in a sense that must be contemplated using transcendental senses. But when you have your transcendental senses, why would you like to contemplate a greater form? Because you have a very nicer form to contemplate. That is Krishna himself. So, for atheists, demons, kind of people, this universal form is wonderstruck. I remember when I became a devotee, I was secretary of Odia Association in IIT Delhi. And whenever I met any of our Odia people, Odia professor, I used to tell about Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. And suddenly one professor, he met me on the road and I said, I'm now taking interest in Bhagavad Gita. And he became very happy and said, yes, it's in Bhagavad Gita, Vishwarupa Darsana, that is the everything. And I'm pretty sure that if I would have told him, please come and attend our program and learn how to love Krishna, he would never be interested. So this universal structure is so gigantic and it's so vast. So the materialistic and all these people, they try to imagine it. Okay, and just thinking about the expansiveness of the universal structure, which has no beginning, no end, and no middle, you know, they get wonderstruck and they get attracted. But for a pure devotee, you know, trillions of such universal structures are within Krishna's belly. So we like to meditate on Krishna, not on his universal structure. So it's imaginary because those who meditate on the universal structure of the Lord, they use their mundane senses. And anything related to Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they are not subject matter within the purview of mundane senses. They are within the purview of spiritual senses. Is that fine with you, Mataji?
Prabhu, no, I'm not very clear because it further states that Prabhupada's purport that material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his factual forms.
Yeah.
As Paramatma or Super Soul, the Lord is within each and every material form, even within the atoms.
Right.
But the outward material form is but an imagination. This point I am not clear. That
actually, I understand because this would require a lot of maturity and understanding the material compositions. Let me tell you, matter means not what your understanding is. Let me tell you. Now, many of us even don't understand. Suppose I watch this glass. Is this glass is outside of me or inside of me? Many would say this glass is outside of me, which is wrong. This glass is inside of me. Why? Because what is the external glass, I don't know. But I have a sensory perception within the glass, within me. Because I'm not seeing this glass. What I'm experiencing is something within my consciousness. Within my consciousness, I'm experiencing. So what I'm experiencing within consciousness, that is phenomenal world. This is the beginning of philosophy. That's why Prabhupada never translated the world as an external world. What Prabhupada translated this world as phenomenal world, world of experience. There is a distinction between the scientist and spiritualist. Scientists talk about an external world. We spiritualists, we do not accept an external world. There is no external world, doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is Krishna. So this is a very profound topic. So maybe sometime we can have some chat session to explain this, but this would require a lot of understanding, because the matter, the way I am conceiving, is absolutely false, imaginary. It has no basis, because I have a faulty eye. As I told you, I always think that I am seeing a glass outside me, or you are thinking that you are seeing me on the computer screen. This is hallucination. Isn't it in the dream? You have a proper experience. How that experience is happening in the dream? In fact, this fourth canto, 29th chapter, is all about dream after this. It's a very profound topic, because anybody who understands dream, he would realize that everything that we are connected to this world is actually that of hallucination. There is no reality. This is tough to digest in the beginning. I have been...
Prabhupada, it says that Lord and the living beings both are imaginary, and they have no material form.
Yeah.
What
neither Krishna doesn't have a material form. Neither you have a material form. But you consider your body to be your form. So Krishna manifests a world, and that causes certain experience within you, because you want to have certain experience. And Krishna creates those experiences through his phenomenal world. But ultimately, everything is getting manifested by Krishna. And that Krishna who is manifesting everything, according to our literature, is actually the same person that is Yashomati Nandan or Nandanandan. So this is a very tough subject.
But he is in the human form.
He is not a human. Krishna is not a human. Ava jananti ma mudha manusim tanumasritam param bhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Krishna is not a human. You are human, I am human. Krishna is not human.
In the sense, Prabhu, that everybody could meet him, see him, Yashoda Maya.
No. Yashoda saw Krishna. Doesn't mean that Duryodhan saw Krishna.
Yes.
There are many upstarts, they could not see Krishna.
Yes.
Forget about it. Even Duryodhan could not see Krishna when Krishna demonstrated his universal form. Normally people say, those who are atheistic and demonic, they appreciate the universal form. Even Duryodhan could not understand, could not appreciate Krishna's universal form. So it is not easy. Unless Krishna reveals to you, you cannot. So that is why when people say, show me Krishna, what is your qualification? You have qualification to see Krishna. I think I have another meeting. I will. Pardana Mataji, I would take leave now. I'm sorry, because there are some other meeting I have. And thank you very much for inviting
me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. I'm sorry that I have to, because 6:30 there is another meeting I have to attend.
I'm sorry to delay you.
No. I'm very happy. You are asking a very nice question. And I hope that we'll have an opportunity to discuss this for that. And okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you for wonderful class. It was very enlightening class today. And giving us your association. We are very grateful to you, Prabhuji. We look forward for your association again in the future. If nobody have any questions, we'll end the call here. Paying obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha
Kripa
Patitanam Pavanevya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai
Jai
Srila Purushottam Prabhuji Ki Jai
Sangha Bhakti Sangha Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai
Hare Krishna.